Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. I have a charge to keep, a God to glorify, and by God's grace, I'm going to keep it. Of a forgotten faith, of a forgotten God, part 11, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, part 25. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord? Once they got what they wanted, once they were blessed, once God worked miracles for them to capture the promised land, neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? In other words, they did not remember their faith, of a forgotten faith. They did not even think about their God who brought them. Isn't that amazing how people are, like we are? We pray to God for things, and we pray hard, and then God blesses us with it, and then we don't inquire of the Lord anymore. We get what we want, and then we forget about God. But not only are we that way towards God, we're that way towards one another, to family members and friends. People sacrifice for you and get things set up for you and make things happen for you and give things to you, and you get what you want, and then you forget all about those same people. It is a betrayal. Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon such wretched people as we are, who have been so blessed by you, and we have done just like the Israelites, and we have forgotten our faith in you. We have forgotten about you, and many of us don't inquire of you as we used to and as we should now. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of this sin and many other sins related to it. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would help us to pray, to humble ourselves, to turn from our wicked ways, to repent of our sins, to seek your face and get back to you, our first love, as Bible-believing Christians. For the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saints, in Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, J. Nally said, nations and individuals that turn away from God incur his wrath. As one preacher brought out right before, a Southern Baptist preacher brought out right before the Southern Baptist denomination was exposed for having men in the pulpit molesting children before the whole nation and before the whole world. First comes the warning, and then comes the judgment. Evidently, he was one of those warning his denomination about this evil. And Dr. J. Nally points out, nations and individuals, he said nations and individuals, move that away from that. Nations and individuals, and this is so true, that turn away from God incur his wrath. And don't you ever forget it. Some of us think that God is some grandfather, great grandfather figure up in heaven that we can manipulate like we manipulate our fathers and grandfathers today, thinking that he is forgetful, he is senile, or worse, dead. And none of that is true. God is on point, far more than you'll ever be. And don't you forget that God has made it very clear. God is not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And Dr. J. Nally goes on to say, God's wrath is always just and to be feared. It is patient, it's loving, it's long-suffering. You've heard me tell people from the pulpit that right now America is under God's loving, slow warning and judgment. That if we don't confess our sins in the church first and repent of the evil we've done against him as a country, I believe that God will bring severe judgment against America. But if you look around, slowly but surely, he's warning us, lovingly warning us, and slowly dismantling America piece by piece in every area. Because there has never been a more blessed country on the face of the earth outside of Israel than America. God's wrath is always just, it's always right, and it should be feared. It is patient. God is not in a hurry. consistent and stored up. It is for sinners and for God's glory. At times it is partial, and at other times it is complete. At times, though, their ultimate end is heaven and not hell. Even Christians may be swept away in the judgment of a nation. And I believe, and the reason why I am preaching this series, I believe that black and white Christians, folks who claim Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm talking about Baptist folk, black and white alike, National Baptists, Southern Baptists, Independent Baptists, Bible churches, all of the evangelical churches, charismatic churches that believe the Bible. We have failed God, we have failed Jesus, and we have failed this nation. And that's why we're in the mess we're in right now. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in our last message, we took a look at the heartbreak that the Lord experiences by people forgetting about Him once He has blessed them so much. We have people in this country right now, and some religious folk are joining them, saying that we want the motto, "In God We Trust," off of our money, out of the courthouses, out of the Congress buildings. We have folk now who are trying their best to change the definition of marriage. And now we have Christian folk, so-called, joining with them and praising homosexual marriage, not realizing this is what destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and it is slowly but surely destroying America and the world. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in our last message, we took a look at the heartbreak of the Lord as He asks His people to explain why they have left Him. Throughout the prophetic books, God takes on the persona of a faithful husband reaching out to his unfaithful wife, who, as the Bible says, has dealt treacherously. But it is not just ancient Israel. Sometimes we, in fact, I would say oftentimes, we in the church treat God like that today. Treat Jesus Christ that way, because He is supposed to be the husband of the bride, the church. And He is. Basically, God is using the same image, the same institution of marriage, to describe how close our relationship should be between a husband and a wife. May I say that much of the church today is practicing whoredom. They are acting treacherously against Jesus Christ. They have forsaken the Lord, now having been blessed now with new cars and new houses, money in the bank, investments. And now they think they can do whatever they want. But one day destruction is going to come. Judgment is going to come. chastisement is going to come. That's how the Lord deals with us today, through chastisement, individually and collectively. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, it may very well be something we are, in fact, it is something that we're doing right now in our churches. We're acting treacherously. Fornication in churches is running rampant. Adultery is not only running rampant, it is exposed in the secular newspapers. One pastor was just killed by evidently a former lover or a woman he was committing adultery with. His wife said that she didn't know that, but evidently he was committing adultery with her. And the woman who killed the man had enough decency, if you will, to tell his wife to move out the way. I'm not here to kill you, I'm here to kill him. And while he was, while she was unloading bullets in him, she was screaming and hollering, said, "You broke my heart. You broke my heart. You broke my heart." Immodesty is out of control in the church. Lying, stealing, and Judases are running rampant in the church, and pastors are afraid to say anything about it. In fact, just the other day, I think it was a Pew survey, or a Bonner survey, that said over half of the preachers in this nation are afraid to offend people by dealing with some of the evils that are in our society. And I say that every last one of them ought to resign and step out of the pulpit. Every preacher who feels that way should not be in the pulpit. They probably were not even called in the first place. You should not have any concerns about offending people at all. But over half of our preachers in the pulpits today are afraid to offend somebody. If you preach the gospel, you're going to offend somebody. If you say God loves you, you're going to offend somebody, because they're going to say, "Well, I don't believe in God. Don't tell me God loves you." They'll be ready to fight and pick at your church. You know, if you preach the gospel, you're going to offend people. We have strayed from the Lord, and yet the Lord calls after us still, asking, "What have I done to offend you?" See, this is God's love and care and compassion for us. Perhaps in our sinful nature, we think that we can just easily return to God whenever we make up our little minds. But as the adage goes, sin will take you farther than you want it to go, keep you longer than you want it to stay, and make you pay more than you wanted to pay. And that is the example we see when we look at verse 6 of our passage today. The Lord says of the Israelites, "Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt and led us through the wilderness?" This is all God's doing now, and they know it. "Through a land of deserts and of pits." Have you ever had any deserts and pits in your life, in your Christian journey out of Egypt, that God brought you through, dear Christian friend? You know what we're talking about here. When the debts were high and the money was low, and God delivered you somehow, some way. When your baby was sick and you didn't know what to do and you didn't have any money to take the child to the hospital, but God healed the child and brought you through that. Now the child is graduating from college. the many times you didn't know how you were going to pay the rent or pay the mortgage. Monday it was due. You prayed all weekend long and God brought you through. Not just once, but multiple times, many times. Through a land of drought and of the shadow of death. Many of us have been in the shadow of death. Some of us live in the shadow of death, but God keeps us alive. Through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. A journey of faith. God has blessed you to do things that no one else has done. God has worked miracles in and through you. And you knew it was God, and you know it was God. And now you won't even inquire of the Lord. Now that you're on the other side and you're in the promised land, you hypocrite, you traitor, you adulteress. Even in their sin, the Israelites never looked around and said, wait a minute, where is the Lord? So many fathers and so many mothers have had this feeling. They have sacrificed and suffered to raise their children and to get them through. Now they have multiple degrees and they're making big money and they're doing new things, and they now don't want to have anything to do with their parents. They don't say, where is Papa? Where is Mommy? Who sacrificed so much and worked so hard to get us through. Who never saw the heights that we have seen. Wait a minute. Where is Papa? Where is Mommy? Why am I not thanking them? Why am I not sending them a letter of thanks? Why am I not talking to them anymore? Consulting with them anymore? Well, this is how the Lord felt. And I believe that God allows, calls pastors to be pastors, husbands to be husbands, parents to be parents, leaders to be leaders, to show them how they have treated him. I believe that's one of the lessons. That God wants everybody to learn. He makes us parents and leaders and pastors and so forth to help us to really see how the people and how we have treated the Lord. Where is the Lord who blessed us so immensely? Where is the Lord who brought us into the promised land? If they had simply paused to consider their own spiritual bearings, they would have realized that they were lost at sea, if you will, and could have decided to make their way back to shore, their way back to the Lord. But that is the nature of sin, isn't it? It takes you so far that you are blind to the destructive consequences of your own actions. Regarding this passage, John Wesley remarked, the Israelites never concerned themselves about what God had done for them, which should have encouraged them to cleave to him. Dr. Daniel Whedon said, God was not in all their thoughts. How about it, dear Christian friend? Is God in all of your thoughts? There was total forgetfulness of him. Dr. Thomas Constable said the Israelites had not even asked themselves, where is the Lord who had redeemed them in the Exodus and preserved them through the wilderness? Where is the Lord? They totally disregarded him. They forgot their faith in him. They forgot God. They forgot that quick what God had done for them. And some of us as Christians have done the same. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, Lord, ladies and gentlemen, we know we would not be where we are today. We would not have accomplished what we have accomplished to this day. And yet people have forgotten God. So, ladies and gentlemen, in closing, I have so much more to say. In closing today, here's what you need to do. I'm talking to Christians. First, confess your sins. Don't try to jump and repent. Admit your sins, because we have some proud Christians today who don't even want to admit that they're tempted with sin, much less that they have sinned. I've asked Christians, are you tempted? It's just a trip to me how they lie and say they're not even tempted. Admit that you are tempted to sin. Confess your sins and repent of your own sins. If you're head of a household, confess and repent of the sins in your family, like Job did. You already know what they are. You don't have to go looking for them. You know what your sins are. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins, to confess their sins and repent, and get back to their first love. Pray for your, not only for your brothers and sisters in Christ, pray for yourself to start a family devotion time. Gather everybody together before you leave to go to work and pray. Even if the baby is asleep. When we were having, my wife and I were having all of the babies back to back, we have one nursing and one sleeping, but we all pray together every day, no matter what. That's all my children know. That's all they've heard me do down through the years, is pray. From the time they were conceived until the time they left home, they've heard their father pray for them and with them. You need to do the same. It's the most important thing you can do. I think it's more important than going to church. You ought to go to church, but I think that family devotions is more important. You need to have church at the house. And then pray for souls to be saved and do your part by telling somebody about Jesus. And let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray. In the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to admit our sins. Help us to confess our sins. And by your grace, help us to repent of our sins and to turn from our evil ways. And Lord, we pray for Christians everywhere who are truly born again to die to self, to turn from their evil ways as well. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to get back on the firing line and help us to get back to the simple thing you told us to do, the Great Commission, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and to do what we can, to do what we're supposed to do something. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, dear friend of mine, if you have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the free pardon of your sins, allow me to share with you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation from sin and from hell. And just acknowledge that you are a sinner. Admit that you have done wrong in your life. And understand that because of your sin, you're going to a place called hell. And the only way that you can be saved is through faith in Christ. Believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. For Jesus Christ himself said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. You don't have to dance and shout around the church to be saved. You don't have to do good works to be saved. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save your soul. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, here's God's promise, that if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're ready to be saved today, simply believe from your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins as the sacrificial Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. As one preacher said recently, that if you trust in Christ as Savior, God will look on you as he looks on his Son, as holy and pure. And so believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He took your place. Pray and ask him to save you. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored my parents. I've disobeyed my parents. I've committed the sin of idolatry by putting people and other things before you. I have lied before. I've stolen things before. And because of my crimes, I deserve to go to hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me, and forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations to you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.